Today we're going to read, we're going to do a little sermon on the Lord Jesus being baptized. And it's fitting because next week, as you hear, we'll be having some baptism. And some of us were saying this scripture has been read a couple of times, but there is other scripture in the Bible to back it up. You know, the Lord Jesus' baptism is mentioned in the four Gospels and elsewhere in the scripture. So this is very significant. If you look in the Bible and read it, it's right there. And for something that is said right across the pages of the scripture, you know, this is very important. And so we're going to look at Mark chapter 1. Paul read some of that this morning, but that's what we're going to do. Mark chapter 1 and reading from verse 4. We're going to think about John as he came and his baptism, you know, what it's all was about. So reading from Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to stop at a couple of places sometime to just explain what the Lord has laid on my heart and what we have seen there. Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 4, and it said, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. First of all, the word baptism, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo, and that means to emerge, immerse, or in other words, dip in. If you read the scripture, it never says about sprinkling or pouring. You know, some of the religion we know does that. They, you know, you sprinkle and you're baptized, or they pour the water in you and you're baptized. I don't think so. Scripture didn't say that. That's what it's saying here this morning. Baptism means to immerse. You go under and then you rise again. Yes, so John came speaking in the wilderness. John was there in the wilderness preparing, and he came with this message. What was his message? His message was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Why did John baptize? John was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preparing the way because the Messiah would be coming, and he was sent before the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare this way. And so John came and he speak this repentance of baptism. You know, that wasn't for the believer. You know, we'll come to that in a minute. But here was a people who had no hope. They weren't thinking of one who was going to come to save them. They were thinking just of doing what they used to do, sinning. And here was John the Baptist coming out to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached of repentance for the remission of sin, and then he baptized them in the Jordan River, and they confessed their sins. It was the nation of Israel, and it was called to repentance and to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. So when John did that, you know, in the background, the Lord Jesus Christ was getting ready to come out and do his ministry. And so, while John was preparing the way, the Lord Jesus Christ was getting ready to come out and start his servant ministry. You see, in Matthew, we speak of the king coming and they reject him. In Mark, now, we see the servant getting ready to present his work. And if you're a servant, you know, in the old days, if you're a servant, you just do what you're told. You don't complain. You doesn't murmur. You just do as you're told. And so we are ready to see what the baptism of the Lord Jesus means. Let's continue to read here. Verse 6. John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me, who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so here is John talking about the Lord Jesus. He was ready to come on the scene and to do his ministry. And John talk about he's unworthy to loose the strap of his shoes. Can you ever think of that? Sometimes you see one of the kids running around with their shoe unloosed, and you say, tie your lace. But this one, he said he's not worthy to even lose it. Yet still, in the background, he had a mission. He had something to do. And the Lord Jesus was right there, ready to come on the scene. But before he came on the scene, he had to show that he was willing to do what the Father sent him to do. And so he came to John to be baptized. And John didn't want to baptize him. Why? Because here is a righteous God. And John was baptizing sinful people. And he said, "No, I'm not worthy. I can't do that." Maybe we should look at it. Turn quick over to Matthew. And just let's read the difference here that we see. Matthew chapter 3. And just reading from verse 13. We'll see the difference here. And I should say that the four Gospels, if you read them, you'll see the difference in all of them that speak of the Lord Jesus. The four Gospels, and all of them speak differently about what happened. And reading from verse 13, it said, "When Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.'" Yes. So you see, right away here, John didn't want to baptize Jesus because he counts himself unworthy to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a sinner, and here was one who was righteous. He did no sin. He commit no sin. He take on himself the sins of the world to go to the cross. But that was it. He didn't commit no sin of himself. He was pure. And this one did not want to baptize him because of that. Turn back over to Mark as we go. And in verse 9 it said, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." So right away you see the difference right there. In Matthew, John didn't want to. But right here, it sounds like John just baptized the Lord Jesus right away. So sometimes you have to read scripture to back up what you're reading or what you're saying, because sometimes you don't understand it, but you have to read to understand it. So right here, it's saying that John did baptize him. He did, because Jesus baptized by John. And, you know, when we think of it, baptism, right there, the Lord Jesus Christ was showing that he wanted to be identified with those who were sinners, but listen to the word that John said and repented of their sin. So John came preaching the word of baptism, preaching repentance, preaching that you should be saved, and they accepted and were baptized. Jesus himself, he knew no sin, but he wanted to be identified with those who went under the water of baptism. And verse 10, it said, and immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Yes, this is what happened. Right as the Lord Jesus got baptized by John, he came up out of the water, and here the Spirit descended upon him, and the heavens opened, and the Father, you know, he wanted to make no mistake. He was saying, this is my Son. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He's righteous. He need not to be baptized. But he's showing the way that, yes, I'm crucified, or I baptize with these people who are showing that they baptize. You know, when we think of it, if you can think of when you baptize, and who was there? You can remember. But here, if you look, the three Godhead were right present at the Lord Jesus baptized. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes. And they were present there at his baptism. So this has to show that it's no mere form of baptism. This is a real thing. And God did it so that we can follow him. You know, before his ascension, the Lord ascended, before his ascension, he said to his disciples, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy. And that is found in Matthew 28 and verse 19, and Mark 15:16. You can read those later. But these are some of the things that shows you that baptism is right up there, like everything. Mark you, baptism, as I say, cannot save you. Baptism is showing forth that you are willing to follow the Lord Jesus in what he said. And this is the time that each one of us have that privilege. First of all, you make that decision. And then you follow in his footstep in baptism. Before the ascension, I said, we see this in the gospel, Matthew. And then, early on, after he ascended, remember, the brethren was in Jerusalem. And he said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come. Maybe we should just turn to it in Acts chapter 2. And we just read a couple of verses showing that this is ascension. This is the Holy Spirit baptizing the individual believer. And so that's where the church began. Reading from verse 1, it said, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sounds occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. So here we see right here, this is the whole, remember, he said he would send the Holy Spirit, and he sent it right there. And all of them who was there were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this here began the the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, in other words. And so we see this morning that this is no fable tale, or this is no, you know, you just come along and do it. No, first you have to be saved. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you read the scripture, you see what it says, and you follow in obedience to what he said. You follow in this way. There is lots of other scripture we can read to show this, but we would come to the believer's baptism. I'm just going through it as fast as I can this morning. We might do some more of this next week, because I'm still learning myself. And this is really a great subject. The believer's baptism, we see here in Acts 2:41, and it said, one of the things that the Bible teaches, that those who believe on Christ were baptized. Acts 2:41, Acts 8:12-38. And so forth. Acts 9, you know, there's lots of scripture there in the Acts. The new church, the new beginning. That's where all you'll find all of this. There is other parts in the Bible, but most of this is fine there. Jesus laid down his life for us. And if he did, and he did, he gave his command to us to follow him. And these are some of the things that we do, that he allow us to do. And if we follow in all his footsteps, we should do these things. What is baptism? Water baptism is by immersion. And I did say that already. But if you're just sprinkled, that's not baptism. Or if you're poured upon, that's not baptism. You have to be dipped in a pool right behind us here, or we can go down to the ocean and be baptized. Yes, these are some of the things that is very upfront in the scripture and in the believer's pathway. There's another one, what the Bible teaches. It picture the believer going into death with Christ, but living unto Christ, or living in Christ. And that is fine too in Galatians 2 and verse 20. And Romans 6:4. God sees the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the death of the believer. So that is why when we go into baptism, when we go under, you're dead to sin, dead to the world. And when you rise with Christ. You rise because what he has accomplished for us. You rise because you're going to follow in his footsteps. You rise because you're following what he commanded us to do. And this is why we baptize. Is baptized true? Yes, everybody who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they think about this thing for a while. They do. Because this is very important. And if you're here this morning and you haven't baptized, if you haven't think about it, keep thinking about it. Because one of these days, you might just say, yes, that's a true command, and I shall follow my Lord in baptism. Why baptize? Why baptize? First of all, it's a command from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 28:19. And Mark 15:15-16. You go back there and you see that. He tells us, do that as often as you do. These are two things that the new church does. Baptism and the breaking of bread. Yeah. Yeah. These are a command to the believers if you're following the Lord in his footsteps. He leave this for the new church. He leave this for the new believers. He says to do these things until he comes. What's baptism? It's also a public profession of faith. Christian obedience to the Word of God. Yes, obey. You just sing the song, Trust and Obey. These are basic doctrine. And I think if you don't, that's my thinking, if you don't understand it, you shouldn't be baptized. You know, if you can't like to understand why you're being baptized. But each one knows why they get baptized. You're going to show the world that you're dead to the world. What I used to do, I do it no more. I'm rising up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to go to even death for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what He has done for us. So that's one other thing that you have to look through when you think on baptism. And it also put the belief, now that you're baptized, the believer is now committed to serving Christ. You know, you're committed. Not break my bread and, oh, I'm sick, I can't go. No, you're committed. He asks us to meet him there every morning, every Sunday morning. Whatever day of the week he does it. Or night, some people do it at evening time. But he asks us to remember him in the breaking of bread and the partaking of the cup. The believer also, when they are baptized, they see all things new in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's it found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Baptism also remind us that all of the things we were and all of the things we are now is because Christ died for us and gave his life for us. We see things in a different perspective, you know, but God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Trinity, they see things in the righteousness of God. And these are some of the things that day by day, as we go on for him, he shows us. Yes, mistakes are making, as I said, I start. But there is one who never made mistakes. And we can always take our mistakes and go to him and say, Lord, I am sorry for what I done. Please forgive me. You know, you're at home and you move the sugar bowl and you leave it here. And then your wife would say, well, why do you leave it there? It's supposed to be here. I would say, well, I forgot. These are some of the mistakes that we do in life. Basic, but we forgive each other. And that's what the Lord does to us. Baptism is a good thing. Baptism, God has said, do this. And if you are willing to do this day by day, as you present yourself a living sacrifice for God, you will remember the time you got baptized, maybe here, maybe somewhere else. When the onlooker see you, you know, most of the time, people who are at baptism, they start to cry. A tear comes. Because they know the seriousness of what you're doing. There is no more in the world. There is no more talking, bad talking. There is things that you have to clean up and follow the Master as He commanded us. So, dear ones, we're glad that we can have this little talk. Tonight I'll go a little further. I don't want to get into it, but tonight we'll go a little further and see one who was willing right then and there to be baptized. And then we'll see a little of Paul as he speaks. People hear the gospel, they were cut in their heart, and they said, come sing, what shall I do? So, if you can, if you're not watching the game, you can come tonight and you'll hear some more. We have a lot. There's a lot of material here on baptism. You're just touching the basics. So maybe next week when you come, you'll hear more. You'll see a baptism, and it will remind you of when you baptized, when you got baptized, or when I got baptized. Let's pray. Father and God, we just thank you for this time we can come together. We thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your word. And we thank you that some of us who are willing to follow after baptism, that this is a good thing. This is your command. And Father, we would gather to do this day by day as we go from one place to the other. We know, Father, that you are with us. So just cause our hearts to glow in your love and your grace and your mercy. And we just come to thee now and give thanks in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. One of the verse we didn't sing, I bring this up here too. One of the verse, it said, Lord, take my life and make it whole. Thine fill with pour my heart. With thy great love divine, take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. The Lord help us to be true to him as we go day by day. We come to know him as Savior.